the Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to do the Samba. Anyway, talk about what Samba is, and to lead us in that discussion, we have three people. Walt Wilson, the executive director of Samba, former Fed, and he actually even teaches retirement seminars for NITP. Good morning, Walt.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Great. Good to see you. It's been about a year on the show, but we see each other not often, but occasionally during the year. And Pam Cummings, and Pam is a deputy executive director of Samba. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefit Director, NITP, Weekly GovExec columnist, seminar presenter, and as I always say, knower of all things federal. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Bob.
Tammy's going to go to Pittsburgh and deliver a turtle after the show. That's true.
My interesting life.
Anyway, okay, Walt, Pam, what's Samba, and how do you do it?
Well, thank you. Samba is an employee association that's been around since 1948. SAMBA originally stood for the Special Agent Mutual Benefit Association because SAMBA was established by FBI agents way before we had the Federal Employees Health Benefit Program to provide health insurance and life insurance and other insurance products to primarily FBI employees. When the Federal Employees Health Benefit Program was set up in 1960, SAMBA Health Plan was one of the original health plans in that program. Then through the years, SAMBA has opened its membership up to other groups. First, it was primarily federal law enforcement agencies or employees or and annuitants from federal law enforcement agencies. And then 3 years ago, SAMBA opened its membership to all active and retired federal employees. There is no membership fee to join SAMBA. Any person who is enrolled in any SAMBA products, whether it's health insurance or one of our other products, is considered a SAMBA member.
Okay, great. Now, Tammy brought in two emails that came in this morning, one at 8:37 this morning. And the emailer says, I have two questions for SAMBA. One, I'm interested in wellness benefits, thinking about a quit smoking resolution. What programs does SAMBA offer?
Well, if you'd like to quit smoking in the new year, by all means, for the SAMBA health plan, standard option and high option, we are offering a QuitNet program through our association with Medco. And that program basically is paid at 100%. You can get your over-the-counter medications to assist you in quitting smoking or your prescription medications at 100% coverage. And we certainly hope that those who wish to stop smoking take advantage of this in the upcoming year.
Is there directions on that in the brochure this year on how to get the reimbursements, and do you have to do it through a physician?
Well, actually, any prescription would be covered in full if it were be presented to the retail pharmacy.
Oh, okay.
For prescription medications. For your over-the-counter medications, you either have to go through the QuitNet program or you have to have a doctor write a prescription for that over-the-counter smoking deterrent. And the information will be on our website. We'll have a link to sign up. I believe it's a six-month program. It gives you coaching and so forth. And you can also, we plan on sending out some communications in the near future once we start the new year.
That's good, because I think a lot of people have that desire to do it but don't know how to get started. So that should be a good incentive.
Is that a common provision within other plans? We never say anything bad about other plans that they would have a wellness program.
It will be a common provision for next year because the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, has mandated that all the federal health plans offer smoking cessation programs
Great.
To their membership. So it'll be pretty universal. Different quirks, differences among the programs, but each plan will have a program of sorts.
Okay. The emailer had a second question. This is, why the big cost differential between the high and standard options? Benefits seem similar. Okay, that's yours, Walt.
Okay. Well, let me back up. Samba Health Plan comes with a high option and a standard option. And about 60% of our health enrollees are enrolled in the standard option. And there is a huge difference in the premium of the high option and standard option. In the high option, generally, compared to the standard option, there is a lower calendar year deductible. There is a lower drug copay. If you get generic drugs, either at the pharmacy, $10 or mail order, $15. The standard option's $20 mail orders. The catastrophic limit is much lower under the high option plan. And, of course, if someone is using a lot of medications, the high option plan pays a larger portion of the drug expenses than it does under the standard option plan. However, having said that, both plans have a $20 copay if you go see a doctor or a specialist, the same $20 copay, and many of the other benefits are very similar. So I would say primarily the big difference is in the drug structure, how much the plan pays.
For older retirees who have Medicare, would both plans waive the deductibles and copayments for Medicare beneficiaries?
Good question. Yes, for retirees, annuitants, or anyone who's under Medicare, particularly Medicare Part B, mm-hmm. I would say the standard option would be a good plan because we pay the same for folks enrolled in Medicare A and Part B under either the high or the standard
option. So the only thing you'd really look at there would be the prescription differences.
But the only difference would be the mm-hmm. prescription difference. Exactly right.
That's good to know because I think a lot of people don't realize that fine line between the two.
Yes. It's mm-hmm.
Okay. So Tammy had two emails. We just did one. But right now we're live. It's 10-12 Monday, November 29th, 2010. And we'll be on till about 10:58. And do yourself a favor, give us a call.
But
if you're listening, if you're listening outside of that time frame, again, this is Eastern Time, don't call. But you certainly can email us at what's the email address for your benefit?
For your benefit at nitpink.com. That's nitpinc.com.
Okay, great. So our phone number though is 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. Walt, before we went on air, you mentioned that Samba's high option was ranked number one among the fee-for-service plans, and standard option was number four. So how'd you do that?
Well, thank you very much for bringing that up, Bob. Every year, it's based on what they call a CHAP survey. Every year, OPM has all the plans participate in a survey conducted among the members of various health plans, whether it's a fee-for-service plan like Samba plans or an HMO plans, asking members various questions about their experiences with their health plan during the year. And when this year, I'm referring to an article published in Federal Times on November 15, they ranked the customer satisfaction of all the plans in this. Samba high option was rated number one, had the highest rating of all the 10 fee-for-service plans open to all employees. And the standard option was rated number four. So we're very proud of the customer satisfaction scores that we received. And we think our customer service is as good as you can get.
Anywhere. Yeah, I know I've called Samba, and you get a real person that answers the phone.
You get a real person that answers the phone, and we try to do whatever we can to
and they get you an answer.
Help the members you can get an answer.
That's right.
And so that's we're quite proud of that rating.
Great. Now, your network, if you will, is it a nationwide? Are you localized in one place versus another? I ask this of all the plans that come in. So, you know, the folks, and we could, I know we have one fan in California, and he emails me regularly, and he would, I'm certain, ask me to ask that question.
We are using the Cigna network nationwide. Now, Cigna does have a few areas where they rent networks, which is called a TPV. However, it is the Cigna network. The doctors recognize that Cigna card, and that is our PPO.
Can you go on to Samba's website to find your doctor to
Certainly.
See if he's listed or she's listed? What is the Samba website?
It's www.sambaplans.com.
SambaPlans.com. That's easy enough.
Okay. Now, for people like me, Samba is spelled S-A-M-B-A.
Correct.
Like the Samba dance. That's what you were trying to make a joke about first.
Yeah,
right?
It didn't go over well, but I tried. Not that you all would dance around the issues.
But. Samba's a dance. Samba's a health plan.
Okay.
And Samba plans.
Spelled the same way.
You're right. Spelled the same way.
Samba, Samba, potato, potato. Anyway, I didn't mean to say that you danced around that.
The Samba plans, SambaPlans.com. And you go on our website, and there is a, if you click on the health plan, there is a provider lookup tab where someone can look up doctors in their area in the Cigna that participate in the Cigna network, or find a doctor in their area or hospital. Cigna is a very large network of providers. And usually if the members or someone looking doctor is not already in the Cigna network, in the easier way to find out perhaps is to just call their doctor and say, do you participate with Cigna?
I know FBI has a lot of employees that work overseas, so I'm sure Samba also services employees who work outside of the U.S. as well, right?
Yes, we do. We do have a lot of individuals who are overseas. And when we receive their medical claims, we would consider their claim based on the average PPO in this particular area. Mm-hmm. That's how we give them a PPO
reimbursement
rate.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also like to add with the Cigna network on a lot of people don't realize they can nominate their provider if they're not in a network.
Mm-hmm.
And Cigna is very aggressive at building their network whenever they get these requests.
That's good to know too. So you just contact Samba and let them know that my doctor's not in the network, but I would like him to be?
You can go out on our website. We do have a nomination form, mm-hmm. Which we forward over to Cigna. The process does take a few months,
right,
obviously, because there's credentialing and so forth that has to occur.
That's still good to know.
Yeah. Let me go back to what you were talking about, overseas providers. So mm-hmm. One of the reasons we have a lot of members that are overseas is, as Pam said, we pay the benefits as though it were an in-network provider, which might be a $20 copay, and you're seeing a doctor in Italy or something
right.
like that. And so that's a huge benefit.
That sounds like
for a lot
good
of folks.
Benefit.
So they plus if we have a split family, maybe a spouse is overseas and the family is still here. It is very easy to coordinate the benefits and handle things that way.
Yeah, I guess we consider Samba to be one of the traditional health plans, like a fee-for-service PPO
yes.
provider.
Yes, it's a traditional health plan, fee-for-service.
Both standard and high option.
Standard and high. There are benefits, of course, if you are out of network, meaning that if the doctor or the hospital does not participate with the Cigna network, Samba still pays a benefit. But these days, most people, if they want to are conscious of trying to save money, will definitely select a provider that's in the Cigna network.
Provider, absolutely. The other thing that's interesting, I think a lot of people don't realize that even though Samba primarily, I think, is health insurance, you have a lot of other insurance products that are very popular and also very needed by a lot of federal employees. Some of them, I think, we don't even have available through the Federal Employee Benefit Program.
That's right. We are primarily limited to, because of our not-for-profit status, of offering just health or life and closely related products. One of our very popular products is our optional dental and vision plan, where it's not part of the FedVIP program. We hope to become eventually in the FedVIP program, but it's still very popular where we combine both dental and vision.
In the same plan.
The benefits in the same plan. We just have one premium nationwide. We don't break it down geographically. And, of course, you can sign up for self plus one, and family. And then within the dental plan, you can sign up for a DMO, Dental Maintenance Organization Dentist, and you have lower copays. Or we use for our dental plan the Aetna PPO of mm-hmm. dentist. Or you can go to your own dentist mm-hmm. and it pays benefits. And again, more detailed information is on our website, www.sambaplans.com, or call us toll-free, 1-800-638-6589, and we'll send you more information about our dental and vision plan.
Can you only sign up for dental and vision during the health benefit open season?
Excellent question. Mm-hmm. No, you can sign up at any time throughout the year. It's not just during the open season. So that's why we pick up a lot of people throughout the year
that missed the open season.
And one way or another found out about our dental and vision plan and sign up for it. And unlike some of the other plans, starting next year, we will cover dependent children up to age 26 in our dental and vision plan.
Oh, well, that's important to know since we're covering them on health insurance.
We're covering them on health insurance.
Good to know we can cover them on dental.
The Affordable Care Act didn't change dental plans for the FedVip, only covers children up to 22. But SAMBA covers dependent children up to age 26.
So if you're in the family plan, or if you're a single parent, self plus one maybe.
That's right.
I'd also like to add that our life insurance product for next year is going to start covering children up to age 26.
Well, I know. I used to work at the FBI years ago, right, Walt? You would know because you were my boss. Ben, that life insurance plan was very popular. I know a lot of our special agents and support personnel would retire and carry that SAMBA life insurance with them.
Yeah, it's very popular, and one of the things that I guess it's kind of times we live in, but people were living longer. One time, SAMBA term life plan, stopped at age 70, now it goes up to 99. We're hoping that'll cover most of our people. But so that's a popular program, and as Pam indicated, the dependent children are covered under that life plan up to age 26. We also offer a personal accident insurance program, a long-term disability insurance plan, and we have another program I may talk about a little bit later, the Employee Benevolent Fund. Mm-hmm. One plan we are not offering next year is our Dependent Children Health Plan.
Right.
And previously, when children under the federal Employees Health Benefit Program lost eligibility at age 22. We had a plan that would pick up coverage for that child from 22 to 27. And now with the change brought about by the Affordable Care Act for next year, where children can be covered under their parents' plan up to age 26, our need for the Dependent Children Plan
went way down.
Going away. And now that you bring that up, I brought it up, coverage for the children. If anyone out there has a child who is between 22 and 26, that child, of course, can be covered under their SAMBA plan or any other federal health plan for those 4 years. The important thing is to let the health plan know that they have a child that is eligible for coverage.
Right.
If the federal employee or annuitant already has a family enrollment, then it's fairly easy to add the child. Just notify the health plan. On the other hand, if the employee or annuitant has a self-only enrollment, they need to change their federal enrollment to self and family to enroll that child up to age.
Yeah, let me reiterate something, because even if you're in self and family enrollment, but that child was dropped off because they turned 22 2 years ago, you need to call the health plan and let them know that you have that child back on the plan. Because what would happen if in May they go to the doctor and they weren't added?
Well, that's the big thing. If they go to the doctor in May, they still have coverage, but they don't have a card or the health plan doesn't know. So then that just delays the benefits.
So they would still be included.
They would still be covered.
Oh, good. I was worried that maybe they wouldn't be covered.
If the parent had family enrollment, mm-hmm. then even though the health plan didn't know of this child.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when it comes to the child under age 26, whereas previously the child had to be a dependent, it had to be
living in the home,
they had to be unmarried.
not working.
Now the Affordable Care Act says no. If the child is under age 26, even if they have other health insurance, they can be married, they can be financially dependent, that sort of thing. It's no longer a bar to coverage.
So it would be possible for one of those adult children to have health insurance through their employer and through their parents' plan.
Yes.
In that case, the employer would pay first.
The child's, that's exactly right. The child's plan would pay first. Now, I've had calls from federal employees who have our plan, and they have a child who's under 26 who also has our health plan. Should the child drop their plan and go under ours? I would do that.
Yes.
I would do that. And then, of course, when the child turns age 26, if they don't have any other health insurance, they can go under temporary continuation of coverage, TCC, for up to another three years till the child turns 29. And during this TCC three-year period, the parent or the child would have to pay the full cost. The government doesn't contribute anything to the premium.
And they wouldn't be on family coverage anymore.
They wouldn't be under family coverage anymore.
But that still gives them another 3 years if necessary.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
It was either 2 or 3 years ago, I believe you mentioned, and I think you were the only plan at the time that covered children up to 26. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other unique features in your arsenal like that that differentiate you from the rest?
Well, one of the unique plans that we offer, and it's called the Employee Benevolent Fund. And in order to offer the Employee Benevolent Fund, we offer it to agencies who want to provide this benefit to their employees. And the whole purpose of the Employee Benevolent Fund is that whenever a federal employee, active employee, dies for whatever cause, there's a period of time when there is no income being provided to the family, whether they have life insurance or they have eligibility for survivor benefit, what have you. It takes a period of time, 4 to 6 weeks,
Or longer,
to get those benefits paid. And there's a need to sustain the family during this period. And so we copied a program that was available to FBI employees for many, many years and created this Employee Benevolent Fund. The insurance benefit, the death benefit, if you will, is $17,500. The cost is a dollar a pay period, $26 a year. And the reason why it has to go through the agency is whenever a participating agency, and we've got about 25 to 30, the list is on our webpage and growing, whenever a participating agency incurs the death of an employee who is covered by our fund, they notify us, and we send that payment out within 24 hours, if not sooner. It goes out immediately. There are no forms to fill out. There's no death certificate required. The only thing we need is the agency to tell us that this employee has passed on, and we issue that benefit. And that's been very helpful to surviving families. I'm glad you brought that up, Bob. If anybody's listening and they'd like to talk to their HR people about making this program available to employees in their agency, we'd love to talk to them. It's a very simple thing. It's really just an agreement between SAMBA and the employee and agency that the employee and agency will let us know whenever there is a death of an employee.
There's no cost to the agency.
There's no cost to the agency.
Per pay period to the employees.
The enrollment is all done online, so the agency doesn't have to do anything.
Is it payroll deduction?
It's for new agencies, it's not. For the agencies that we've had for years, the FBI and the Secret Service and a few others, Customs and Border Patrol, we still use payroll deduction. But we found that it was easier for the agency if they didn't have to process payroll deductions
have
anymore.
Another allotment.
So they can enroll online, pay online.
You know, as I sit here each week listening to the different folks talk, I am not one of y'all. I'm on the outside looking in, and, you know, I look at this with green eyes. But do you handle people outside of the federal sector, retirees and or current or friends of?
No, we'd love to. But no, we only can enroll or talk to or handle or make our plans available to either active or retired federal employees. We often get that inquiry as to can you provide health insurance to my Uncle Joe, who doesn't have any health insurance available to him, or something like that. And
I always tell my people at the seminars that are single, I say, the best thing you can put on your Match.com ad is federal health benefits.
Yeah, you got the health insurance.
You marry me, exactly, you've got health insurance, yeah, you've got survivor benefits.
That's right.
Very, very important detail there. In fact, I think one of my neighbors
that's on Mike Causey's business card.
Looking for a federal employee to marry?
Sorry, Mike, but he laughs about that. Anyway, on one of the bullet points you sent in, wait a minute, Tammy, you've got another email question.
It's a little technical one, but I think it's kind of important. It's one that deals with Medicare, and I know a lot of our listeners are Medicare beneficiaries. They're over 65 and they're enrolled in Medicare, and if they're retired, Medicare is their primary payer. So if you have Medicare A hospital insurance and Medicare B doctor's insurance along with SAMBA or any federal health plan, you have a combination of, you know, the two different health plans. So this reader wrote in, let me see if I can consolidate the question a little bit, because I think it is important. Okay, I'll just read it to you. It says, there are some doctors who opt out of taking new Medicare patients because of the low payment reimbursements that they receive from the Medicare program. Does this mean that doctors who opt out will not process Medicare claims? And how does an individual obtain Medicare reimbursement if the doctor is not a participating physician? Are the government health plans, they all say if you're on Medicare, Medicare is the primary payer and government plan is secondary. But then who is the primary payer when doctors and medical groups opt out? And I know, Pam, you and I were talking about this before the show started. And one of the things I think people should do is refer to their plan brochure, because there is, you pointed out, there's information about this situation in the SAMBA brochure, and I think in every federal health plan brochure that deals with private contracts with physicians and how Medicare works with the health plan as well.
Yes, Tammy. And on our 2011 brochure, that information will be found on page 76. As Tammy, you mentioned, all the federal health plans have this caveat within the program. It's called a provider contract with your physician. If a physician is opting out from taking Medicare patients, that physician should be making you sign a contract if you still wish to see them and seek their services. That contract stipulates that when SAMBA or another federal plan receives the claim, that plan is going to pretend that Medicare is still processing. Mm-hmm. And we are only going to pay the coinsurance that we would be responsible for should Medicare have paid. So the member will be out of pocket, most likely 80%.
Right. I think it's important for people to know that if at all possible, try to find doctors and physicians who do participate in Medicare, because you're going to have almost zero out of pocket as opposed to paying 80% of the bill, which could be a major difference in the price. Now, there's different terminology. There's doctors who accept Medicare assignment. There's Medicare participating providers. Do you know anything about what are the differences you look for in that area?
Well, the difference is, as long as the provider is accepting Medicare patients, okay, then they are either participating or they are considered non-participating, where they're not accepting the assignments directly. And it's just a different level of payment from Medicare.
Mm-hmm. But either way, the doctor's still going to process the claim for you. They'll send the claim to Medicare. Medicare will send it to SAMBA.
Correct.
And you get a statement that hopefully says you owe zero.
And that's another very valid point that you bring up. Medicare does send the claims to SAMBA electronically
for
our consideration of secondary coverage. Mm-hmm. And that has been in place for many years. I would say most of the federal plans are coordinating with Medicare electronically, the same as SAMBA. And it does make it very easy for the Medicare patient.
All righty, we're here at NITP's For Your Benefit. And for your benefit, you can call in 202-465-3080, 202-465-3080.
There was another part of that question. And again, this is technical, but some people might have this question. And Walt and Pam did have an answer for me, so I'll go ahead and pose it. The reader was saying, as I look at the various health plan brochures, on the cover page of the various brochures, there are several certification stamps. The URAC Accredited Health website, the URAC Accredited Case Management, Accredited Health Network, and a few others. Different plans have different stamps. And do these stamps have any meaning, or can they be used to compare plans?
Yes. For several years, the OPM has directed all the federal plans to list accreditation certificates on their front cover. And these are accreditations from national associations such as URAC for your pre-certification and your case management vendors. You know, your PPO may be accredited and what have you. And yes, they are very important when you're looking at assuring that a vendor that SAMBA is dealing with does have the correct accreditations.
Okay, yes. I think it's something most people, I've never even noticed the stamps until Rita wrote that in there.
Yeah, but it is very important, and I know the networks like Cigna and other networks that are available in the federal program, they're very proud of their accreditations, and they work very hard to have these accreditations granted
included
to them.
Right. That's good to know.
You have another bullet point said standard option is your most popular option. And then what benefits would somebody find there that they wouldn't find on the other? What makes it more popular?
Well, I think another part to that question also is, I think what employees and retirees need to understand also is maybe a little bit, just like a brief explanation of how the plans define their premiums. Because it's not just because they're a better plan, they cost more. It sometimes has a lot to do with who's enrolled.
Yes, there are many factors that go into setting the premiums. And by the way, it's not all profit, because all of the federal health plans are under contract with OPM, and OPM limits the amount of profit that the health plan can have. So that's good for the federal employee. And being a retired federal employee, I appreciate that. But every year in preparing for the next year's rate and benefit proposal, the health plan has to look at what is the trend been as far as usage goes, and what are the providers charging, even though we might be in a preferred provider organization network. Those contracts allow for certain increases to the doctors every year. And so what is that trend going to be? The age of our membership and the benefits available to them. And based on past usage, an actuary actually looks at and tries to predict what's going to happen in the next year. Mm-hmm. And so it's not an exact science, but it's really an educated guess as to what we mm-hmm. think the benefits are the expenses are going to be as far as claims go in the following year. And of course, if we overshoot, then the excess goes into contingency fund, and we use that to reduce the premium or not have as large a premium the next year. If we underestimate what our expenses are going to be, then we have to draw down on our reserves and replenish them the next year. And of course, when you add new programs to your health plan, like smoking cessation or covering children up to age 26, we had to do some estimations as to what that was going to cost the health plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that answers your question, but
well, I think it's interesting to know that, because I think some people just think, oh, I'm going to pick the most expensive plan because it must be the best. And that's not necessarily what you should use to make your
decision. Not necessarily what you should use. And the high option, which is a very high premium and went up a lot, is based on the expenses that our high option members incurred last year. And their primary expenses in the area of drug expense, pharmaceutical mm-hmm. expense, and many of people in the high option plan are of advanced age, and they're on taking a lot of medications, which is keeping them alive. So that's good,
that's
so they
good.
Keep paying the premium. But
I think a lot of people don't realize that federal employees didn't always have Medicare coverage. That didn't start until, 83, I think it was?
Well, 1983 mm-hmm. was when they passed the law to include all federal employees under the Medicare plan.
But if you had already retired by then, you might have retired without Medicare.
Absolutely. And
we still have some of those
folks.
We
have lots of folks in the SAMBA plan that never qualified for Social Security or Medicare because during their working lifetime,
they were exempt.
They were exempt and they worked for the federal government, so they never achieved enough quarters and didn't get additional quarters or credits. after they retired through other employment. So they're not covered under Medicare at all. They could get Medicare if they wanted to pay an additional premium. But the good thing about the federal health insurance program is they don't need to do that.
They don't have to do that. For a young, healthy employee who's still in the workforce, maybe even a young family, would there ever be a time when high option SAMBA would be recommended for them?
I don't know how to answer that, because if I say yes, then
somebody will say
you know, no. Or if I say no, somebody will come back to me and say, well, you know.
How about generally? We always use generally.
Generally, the standard option is, let me say that, the most popular.
Yeah.
And the standard option has the largest number of active employees, younger employees, and it seems to appeal to many newly hired employees and younger. The premium is very popular.
And I'm sure they cover maternity benefits the things that young families need, well child visits and all of
that. Well child visits are covered, all immunization shots are covered, annual physicals for both the parent and the child, well baby visits, that sort of thing. It's all covered at 100%.
What I usually ask first up on a health benefit show like this, and I forgot to do it today, is what's new for 2011? There's always that one page in the brochure that says, how did we change for next year? And I know some of the changes are government-wide, because we had to cover kids till they're 26. We had to cover preventative care, I think, 100%. Is that right, for checkups? 100%
for preventative care, but most plans, I would think, probably did do that. I know we did. We did.
Yeah.
Wasn't a big effort for SAMBA as far as doing that.
There's a little bit increase in the catastrophic limits and reduction in the dental coverage, I guess.
Right. What else do we have, Pam?
Well, we did remove the annual maximum from durable medical equipment under the standard option. A lot of the maximums have been removed.
Durable medical equipment, that's like walkers, canes, wheelchairs, things like that.
Yeah, wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you were to have an accident, it's very nice to know that
you can have
the medical equipment that you need doesn't have an annual maximum.
Good.
And as I said, that maximum was removed under the standard option plan for 2011. We've also removed our maximums under the hospice care.
Oh, okay.
We still have a max on, I think we have a day limit on inpatient hospice. But for outpatient hospice, you're pretty much covered.
You're covered.
Yes.
Because a lot of people ask that when we talk about long-term care insurance, they think the reason why you want to buy long-term care insurance is for hospice. And I say you should check your health plan brochure, because most of them cover hospice.
Hospice, Medicare covers hospice benefits.
Yeah, so you wouldn't necessarily need long-term care insurance for that particular need.
No, I think the long-term care is primarily for your nursing homes.
Custodial
and so
care and nursing home care.
One of the things we added back was coverage in skilled nursing facilities, a step down from critical care, where we had provided benefits for several years, and we took it out 1 year, and members let us know that they needed.
They didn't like that.
They didn't like that, so we put that back in. And
that would be like if I had a stroke and had to go to rehab afterwards.
Go to rehab or a step down. Yeah. You didn't need to be in a critical care, but you weren't ready to go home yet.
Right, so you're covering that.
We could cover
as well.
Skilled nursing facilities. We cover more days.
But I will say that we do have a day limit, okay? It's 10 days under the high option, 5 days under your standard option plan.
And if someone has Medicare, they have coverage for that as well through Medicare?
Yes.
Right. They do. So if you have a hip replacement or something like that after you come out of this,
you can get
critical
some rehab.
Care or hospital. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you generally, that's what we found. We went back and looked at what we thought were
appropriate
number
of days.
Because
the daily expense of that could be expensive.
Yeah, even if when we weren't paying for the room and board, when I say skilled nursing, that's room and board, a lot of the physical therapy and everything
was still
that
covered.
Went with it was still covered.
Is there a limit on physical therapy through SAMBA? Yeah, for visits per year, you know, things like that. So I know that's something, I guess with Medicare, you don't have to worry so much about it. But with health insurance for those younger employees, there are some limits to look at.
And Tammy, you caught me off guard.
Nope,
yes,
sorry.
We do have a limit on physical therapy. And off the top of my head, I can't recall what that limit is.
Well, that would be a good homework assignment to go through the brochure.
I think it's the number of weeks in the high option. I can't remember because we had a dollar limitation last year. I think from the high option, we had 50 visits, and the standard option might be
25.
I think that's what it was, half of.
All right. How about a parallel to that? Disability insurance.
Disability insurance.
Do you offer disability?
Yes, we do. And
otherwise, you wouldn't put it on the bullet.
One of the few companies around that offer long-term disability insurance, a group
which I understand
policy.
Is hard for federal employees to find.
Yeah, it is hard to find because there aren't a whole lot of people out there offering it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people will say, well, why do I need disability insurance? A lot of reasons. And basically, our plan provides 65% of insured salary tax-free if an enrollee is out of work for more than 60 days. 60
is
calendar
that your,
days.
Do you have different stratifications of that? 60 days versus 6 months versus 4 months?
No, we don't. Okay. We just go with 60 days when they're out 60 days. So
that's a very generous.
It is a generous, particularly when the employee can be receiving, you'd be using their sick leave or annual leave or leave share, or whatever, when they're out 60 days, then we kick in. And then, of course, if the employee is unable to go back to work and has to go out on disability retirement, if under FERS, where most federal employees are, the first year that they're out under disability, FERS pays 60%, offset by anything Social Security may or may not pay in terms of disability. Second year, FERS drops to 40%, and plus any Social Security that may or may not be payable.
And still partially offset.
Still partially offset, 60% of the Social Security benefits. So the bottom line to all that is, particularly with a young family, if there's a disability that occurs, it's hard after year one to get going on 40%. And so that's where our long-term disability insurance kicks in. It also offers in-hospital benefit for the family each day that they're hospitalized. It pays a benefit for the employee or the employee's spouse or the employee's children if they're hospitalized. But the long-term disability benefit is huge, and it's hard to get a group policy. Mm-hmm. And it only covers employees as active employees,
right?
Active federal employees. Once the active Fed retires, then the disability insurance ends.
At that point.
What is the definition of disability, which might sound like a screwy question, but some of them are really tight such that if you could do anything, you don't get to collect.
Well, that's basically Social Security. Mm-hmm. If you do anything, you don't get to
collect. Well, I mean, there's some disability insurance programs
that's
out
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah. Clients will bring it in. I go, I'm not so sure you want that. Mm-hmm. But it's cheap, and that's why it's cheap.
We generally follow what the Office of Personnel Management definition of a disability. Broad definition is unable to do the critical duties of your current position with or without accommodation. And it doesn't mean you have to be totally, absolutely, positively unable to do
again,
anything.
That's a generous definition.
It's mm-hmm. a generous benefit.
Yeah. Does it? I'm sure it runs by age, the premium.
Really runs by their salary. They insure their salary. And by the way, if anyone's interested in learning more, click on the long-term disability tab on our website, and they can look at the premiums and download the enrollment form. If they have a disabling condition now, then the plan would wait 2 years. That would be an excluded coverage benefit. But if they're healthy, of course, we don't have a problem there in immediate coverage. Or if someone has a medical issue, we would cover any disability from any other cause other than something that they might have. Of course, after 2 years, we cover everything.
All right. And the purchase of disability, you know, throughout my time talking about this, I don't sell insurance. To be frank, I don't understand a lot of it. But I do understand disability. But people say, no, nah, I don't need that. But I think the stats show you probably have a better chance of being, better chance to be disabled than not with some other malady or a death. And when you talk about your income stream being cut off.
Yeah, being
I saw a statistic
off.
Saying that there's a 30% chance of someone beginning their career in their 20s of becoming disabled by the time
it's
they're 65.
It's sometime during your career. And that's true career, because yeah. I don't mean they develop some type of dreaded illness or they have an accident, never can go back to work. Sometimes these disabilities are short-lived. Mm-hmm. It might be 18 months or 2 years and that sort of thing. If they want to take the disability benefit, the 40% from OPM, they actually go off their agency's rolls and onto the OPM compensation rolls. Then if they recover,
they get
there's no guarantee they're going to get back into their their old job.
It's no guarantee.
It kind of helps save their place with the agency. They can afford to be on leave without pay for a period of time.
So they can be receiving your disability benefit even while they're still on the agency rolls on leave without pay status.
That's exactly right.
Wow. That's
exactly right.
That's
and, of course, important. Our benefit that we pay is tax-free. So 65% may not sound a lot, but it's a tax-free benefit.
That's a lot.
It's a huge benefit. Yes. Being an accountant.
Right.
Do you pay those premiums yourself by check, or can you have...
Samba pays the premium ourselves. We're self-insured in that program. And the employees that are on disability, we either mail them a check every month or we do electronic transfer right to their checking account every month.
And their pay goes up. Do they have to notify you that they want more coverage?
When their pay goes up, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. When the salary increases... they need to let us know within that year that their salary's increased, and they can increase their coverage without proof of insurability right away. If they haven't increased their coverage and maybe 3-4 years later they realize, gee, my salary's gone up, maybe I need to increase my disability insurance accordingly, then they have to fill out another health statement. Which, if something has developed in that interim period, we might not cover an increase for them. We might continue what they have, but not cover the increase.
Okay, we've got a caller. Ted, good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about coverage. I'm a retired federal employee. I'm still taking my health insurance. I also qualify for Medicare. My wife is younger, and she is in the federal workforce. I have her on my policy now, and the question really is, we were thinking of having her take out health benefits and change mine from family to self-only so that we would both have self-only, but the question is, how long does she need to work in order to carry over the health benefits directly?
Well, I'll try to answer this, but I don't want you to take me for my word. I'd like you to check with the Office of Personnel Management. I do believe that if she were to work for 5 years before she retires, she can continue. And they're shaking their head no at me, so I've got that wrong.
No, really, you see, I believe I got the... heard the question. You're covered under your wife is covered under yourself and family enrollment, but your wife is also a federal employee.
Correct.
And do you have any children under 26?
No.
No. So then probably two self-only premiums will be cheaper than the family coverage. Now, as far as your wife's eligibility to continue her health insurance into retirement, the only requirement is that she be in the federal employees health benefit program for a five-year period before retirement. So while she has covered under your self and family enrollment, she is meeting that five-year requirement. So she, yes, you could switch to self-only.
The open season before she retires.
The open season before she retires. Even after you retire, you can do this. So that's a... that's a very important
And that would allow
point.
Them to have two separate plans, because I think he was saying he's on Medicare and she's not yet eligible. She's not yet old enough.
That's right.
So he can get the benefit of primary coverage and waiver of copayments, and she can continue on with whatever health plan works best for her.
Whatever health plan works for her, and it's a good time to do it during the open season.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good question.
Sure enough. Well, other SAMBA insurance plans. I'm looking down here. We talked about disability, but you also offer life insurance.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask about. Because I noticed one thing with SAMBA life insurance, and this is, I think, different from Fegley. Although Fegley does offer family coverage, it's very limited. And I think SAMBA's family coverage is a little bit more substantial when it comes to the term life insurance benefit.
Yes, I think we have a very good term life policy that we began offering in 2009. It does cover the children up to age 26, beginning in 2011. Each child would be $1 per pay period. I'm sorry. It's $1 per pay period to cover as many children as you have, and there's $20,000 worth of coverage for that child in the horrific situation where something may happen. Once a member is signed up for the life insurance, they can opt to have their spouse also join. There's a very short health questionnaire, and I think our premiums are extremely reasonable.
Is your life insurance coverage pegged to salary, or can you pick a dollar amount irrespective of salary?
You can pick a dollar amount irrespective of salary. The premium is based on the age. It's a term life plan.
Sure.
It goes up in five-year increments. And, of course, getting back to Tammy's question, the spouse can get a tremendous amount of coverage, mm-hmm. Up to an amount equal to what the employee has or the member has. And the member's max this year is
$600,000.
Mm-hmm. So that's a lot.
That's a lot of coverage. You said there is some underwriting questions. Would it be as extensive as it is with other life insurance plans? Like you have to have a physical or?
No, it's not as extensive. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We have a health questionnaire mm-hmm. that the enrollee would fill out, asking them questions about their medical condition. And even if they have had something like high blood pressure or diabetes or something like that, that doesn't necessarily exclude them from coverage.
Mm-hmm.
They send it in to us, and we are under reinsured by Prudential Life Insurance Company. It's a Prudential product. And if we have any questions, we send it to Prudential, and their underwriting department looks at the medical condition. Sometimes they'll write out to the enrollees' doctor and ask certain questions.
This is a portable benefit, too. So even an employee who resigns from federal service can keep Sample Life Insurance.
Yes, that's true, Tammy. Employee enrolls, they're young, they're healthy, what have you, but they resign, they go somewhere else. They can continue this program and continue to pay the premiums. It doesn't end mm-hmm. when their employment with the federal government ends.
That's good.
And so either it goes with them to another employment. It also goes with them into retirement. They can reduce or increase the amount of life insurance they carry as their family situation goes up and down.
Right.
In that respect, do you all offer whole life?
No, we do not offer whole life.
How about universal life?
We do not offer universal life.
Okay, so we're buying term.
Term life insurance. Which is, it builds up no cash value.
But it's inexpensive for the coverage, and speaking from personal experience and whatnot, depending on however old you are, and if you think you need 10-year term, buy 20.
Buy 20, yeah.
But yours doesn't
you
have
also
a term
may want
right.
to look at our personal accident insurance, which is very popular.
Strictly, it's an accidental life insurance.
That's only for accidents, but the premium is
minimal,
very minimal.
Minimal, and the regular term life insurance includes an accidental death, a double indemnity benefit cases.
All right, let's review. We have just a little over a minute left, and we talked about
times
there
by.
Much we didn't talk about.
Well, there was a lot to cover. And Samba is more than just health insurance.
And again, this show is archived, so for those listening, you might tell your friends. For those not listening, don't call, but you can email us. And how do they email us again, Tammy?
They email to foryourbenefit, all one word, at nitpink.com. That's NITPINC.com.
All righty. Quick final word, Walt, Pam?
Well, the open season for health insurance runs another 2 weeks till December 13. Anyone's interested in the Samba health insurance program or any of our other insurance programs, www.sambaplans.com or call us at 1-800-638-6589.
Okay, thanks for being on the show. See you next year. See you sooner, probably, mm-hmm. Tammy. See you next week.
See you next
and
week.
And thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on Federal News.